Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. On the show today, we'll be talking about a great traveling exhibit that's making the rounds in Wisconsin. It's called Immigrant Journeys from South of the Border. And with us to talk about it will be Karen Menendez-Collar, the Executive Director of Centro Hispano of Dane County. Dina Wartzel, the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Humanities Council. And Bill Barry. Bill is an author, journalist, and public speaker who lives in Stevens Point. So have you seen the exhibit? What do you think? How has meeting and talking to an immigrant changed your outlook on immigration? I hope you'll join in the conversation. You can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. And we are having a little bit of trouble getting everybody online here, but we have Dina Wartzel, the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Dina, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much for inviting me to come.
And Karen Menendez-Collar, the Executive Director of Centro Hispano of Dane County, has joined us as well. Karen, welcome.
Hi, thanks so much for including me.
Well, it's great to have you with us. Bill Barry, we're working on Bill. We'll have Bill up here in just a minute. But before we talk about the exhibits, let's talk about your organizations for a minute. Dina, first, tell us about the Wisconsin Humanities Council.
Well, the Wisconsin Humanities Council has been around in Wisconsin for almost 50 years. We're a nonprofit serving the entire state. And we're the state's affiliate of the National Endowment for the Humanities. Our mission is to strengthen the roots of community life all across Wisconsin through educational and cultural programs, both local programs designed by communities themselves and special statewide programs that we create to meet a need, like the Immigrant Journeys from South of the Border exhibit that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, actually. Well, Karen, could you talk about your organization in here in Dane County?
Sure. Yeah. So Centro Hispano has been around since 1983. We're the largest leading social service provider for the Latinx community in Dane County. So our mission is to really have a thriving, vibrant community that is representative of the voice of Madison, and we do that through youth programming that we have across Madison Metropolitan School District schools, adult programming, community engagement efforts, and a number of other different partnerships that we have. So just thrilled to be here with Dina. This project is really an exciting one, and I'm happy to join in the conversation.
Yeah, it's great to have you here as well. Dina, maybe you could describe the exhibit for us.
Well, the exhibit is a traveling exhibit that was designed to be able to be moved all over the state. It features absolutely gorgeous photographic portraits of eight individuals, people who came to Wisconsin from Mexico, Central and South America. And with those photos are brief stories told in their own words that give the visitors to the exhibit a little bit of a sense of who these folks are, what their lives were like, and most importantly, you know, sort of why they came here and what their lives have been like since they've come to Wisconsin.
Yeah. And Karen, how do you describe the exhibit and what people see when they go?
Oh, they see our humanity. They see the future of the state and the future of Dane County. And also, can I say, the present of the state and this county? Because I think our community has been very, very present within Wisconsin. We just haven't had the voice or the visibility that we are hoping to build with this exhibit. So I see the humanity in my community, hoping that it will open dialogue and relationship building through this effort with the Wisconsin Humanities Council, and a lot of hope in those faces and the beautiful portraits and the exhibit that was created.
Yeah, the number of people, I watched a talk you gave on the personal stories behind immigrant journeys from south of the border, for, talking about the exhibit, and there are a large number of immigrants in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. And actually have been here for a very, very long time. Yeah, through different pathways. And I think one of the misconceptions is also that, you know, although around 40% of the community statewide is immigrant, a little over 60% is born in this state or in this country. So we're talking about migration that is across state that has come into Wisconsin. So the faces of those that are portrayed are individuals that have come to this community and are just trying to create a future for themselves here. And I think that's what you see when you read so many of those excerpts.
Yeah. And Bill Berry, I haven't forgotten about you. Welcome, by the way. Thanks for joining us today. What part did you play in getting the exhibit ready?
Well, I worked very closely with my dear friend Gary Porter, a Pulitzer Prize-winning photographer from Milwaukee, and Dina and Karen, so helpful. Karen especially was so helpful in connecting us to these wonderful people and their compelling stories. So it was a series of interviews that took place over several months, and a lot of work transcribing. All of it seemed like the old phrase, true work. It was absolutely a wonderful experience for me.
Yeah. What interested you about this project just to begin with?
Well, I have to tell you, Larry, I've had an interest, obviously, in the immigration story for a long time. And here in central Wisconsin, we've had kind of a birthplace of migrant activism in the 1960s, led by people like Jesus Salas and others in the Wautoma area, who marched from Wautoma to Madison to meet with Governor Lucy and to ask for fair housing and adequate sanitary facilities on the fields they were working in central Wisconsin. So that was kind of my touch point, and I've been interested in the topic all along, and I tip my hat to folks like Jesus and his partners who made that happen at a time that was very difficult to do what they did. So that's where I developed my interest.
Yeah, and the exhibit itself, how did the exhibit actually get started? How was it funded and how it got going?
Well, I guess what I can say, Larry, is that when we at the Humanities Council saw that the national conversation around immigration was really deepening divisions, we felt strongly that we had to do something. And at that point, the path was actually pretty obvious. We did what we always do, which is look for people who have the knowledge, the thoughtfulness, and the deep community connections that we believe are necessary to engage the public in conversations that are both respectful and authentic. So though we hadn't worked together before, I knew Centro Hispano by reputation, so I reached out to them and just called up and asked if we could talk about whether Wisconsin Humanities could contribute somehow to the conversation about immigration of people from Mexico, Central, and South America to Wisconsin, who, are part of the community that Centro serves. So it began as a conversation and a brainstorm that I had with Karen sitting in her office. And I will say I was just absolutely, thrilled and bowled over by her welcome and her openness. I am not an expert, and nor, is my staff on immigration. But what I think we, did bring to the table was an understanding of some of the various ways that we can help communities listen to and learn from one another, since that's what we do day in and day out. And Karen heard that.
And Karen, that was it a nice surprise to have Dina stop by?
It was great. It was like serendipity. I think I don't know what it is, but we have a very, I feel personally that I have a very strong connection with Dina and how she approaches the work at the council. And I think we're like-minded, where I think our values are really centered on community, making sure that the right voices are out there. And this is the perfect project. It's one of our strategic priorities to make sure that the narrative that's happening in this beautiful state goes beyond the rhetoric that we hear so much from the federal government. And so to have the opportunity to partner with Bill and Gary and Dina and the council and move what we're trying to do here in Dane County, you know, across the state and create more of a dialogue, it was just, it couldn't have been more of a perfect fit. It came at just the right time. And seems like we tend to work like that. It just always fits very nicely. So I miss seeing Dina in person, but I can't wait to hug her soon, and Gary and Bill as well.
Oh, boy. Well, and I think you feel it's important for it to travel around the entire state.
Yeah. And that's been obviously one of the things that's been difficult right now with COVID, because we had last summer, we had toured it, you know, all around Dane County initially to different locations. You know, we started in Verona, we went to Sun Prairie, we were at a couple of places in Madison, then we were out in Mount Horeb, you know, all over the county. And then we started the outstate tour in Wausau in early March. And I think everyone knows what happened after that. So we had dozens of communities lined up all across the state, Kenosha, Fond du Lac, Superior, Menasha, Wautoma, Eau Claire, you know, on and on. And we had to put the entire tour on hold. But we were absolutely thrilled that just a couple of weeks ago we were able to restart the tour at the Beloit Public Library. And the exhibit is, in fact, there right now through the 22nd of September and is going to continue on. It's also actually at Brandt. We have two copies. So it's also at UW-Eau Claire, Barron County right now, and is going to stay there through October 5th. It'll be going to Merrill, Wisconsin, to La Crosse, to Darlington. All of the dates can be found on our website. So one thing before we go farther, I want to tell people that if you can't get to see the physical exhibit, you can still experience these stories and see these beautiful photographs on the website that we created for the project. So if you're listening and you want to see the exhibit but can't get to Beloit or to Rice Lake right now, you can still see the exhibit by going to the Wisconsin Humanities website and looking for Immigrant Journeys under Programs and see all of it.
Talking with three folks today about Wisconsin Immigrant Journeys from South of the Border, and our guests today, Karen Menendez-Collar is the executive director of Centro Español of Dane County. Dina Wartzel, the executive director of the Wisconsin Humanities Council. And Bill Berry, an author, journalist, and public speaker who lives in Stevens Point. All three very crucial to the development of this exhibit. And I'm wondering, maybe you saw the exhibit. What do you think? How has meeting and talking to an immigrant or immigrants changed your outlook, perhaps, on immigration? I hope you'll join in. You can give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our producer, Tyler Ditter, our engineer, and you, my friend, are listening to the Ideas Network. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. And on the show today, we're talking about a great traveling exhibit making the rounds in Wisconsin called Immigrant Journeys from South of the Border. Our three guests, Karen Menendez, Dina Wartzel, and Bill Berry, all very key to the development of this traveling exhibit. Questions about the exhibit itself, or maybe about immigration itself and the immigrants who live in our state? I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. And maybe, again, you can describe more or less what the exhibit looks like and how it's set up. Dina, do you want to take a crack at that?
Sure, I'd be happy to. The exhibit shares the stories of eight individuals who come from Colombia, Honduras, Mexico, and Uruguay. And when you see the exhibit, the first thing you see is these amazing portraits. You see their faces, and these are just, you know, beautiful human beings. And then you have the opportunity to read a little bit about each of them, their stories of coming here, and especially about their lives here in Wisconsin. You also do get to learn a little bit about the context for these immigrants. We share a very small amount of, I think, really key information that people may not know about immigration. For example, the fact that just under 5% of the people living in Wisconsin today were born in other countries. The fact that, according to the census, just under 7% of our current population, or about 400,000 people, describe themselves as Latino or Hispanic. So we give a little bit of context for the stories, but the real focus of the exhibit is the stories of these amazing individuals who Karen and others at Centro Hispano reached out to and who were so kind as to share their lives with us.
Yeah. And, Bill, you took it from there, did you not?
I did, but I had an awful lot of help from Karen and her staff, in particular, of course, Dina, with her leadership throughout. But Gary Porter and I have worked together for many years, and so we just kind of set up shop over at Centro Hispano over a period of a few weeks and worked hard to first gain the trust and confidence of those young voices and people that we worked with. And I think that was a key, was simply to put these people at ease because, you know, regardless of their own individual immigrant status, many of them have family members who have various statuses. And so this was a brave action on their parts to tell their story publicly. Showed a tremendous amount of courage, and I just I salute their efforts in that way. What I also found, I know the exhibit is an entry point for people to understand better the immigrant story. I also think from my experiences at events surrounding the exhibit that it's served as an inspiration to other people in the immigrant world. And I think this is an important component too. So it was a great endeavor, Larry.
I bet it was. We have some callers online. Let's take some calls here. You can join in too, by the way, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Let's go to Matt in Alouaz first here. Matt, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. Very interesting topic you have today. I worked and had the privilege of working at the Neville Public Museum on a smaller exhibit that was related to your exhibit, and it was called Out of the Shadows. And it essentially was finding stories from the community to pair with pictures and to tell those stories. And we could only fit three panels, so we based it on three of the questions that the immigrant people heard the most, which were, where are you from, why are you here, and what are your hopes and dreams? And we use that to sort of tell stories of the past and the present and the future, but sort of turning them on their ear. And so, for example, we had a photograph of a community member whose mother was from Puerto Rico, but he had blue eyes and blonde hair. And he was taken away at one point because some Americans thought that his mother was kidnapping him. And it was only when he just kept calling out for her in Spanish that they realized that he really was her son.
Oh.
So it was really impressive to see how this reached the community and just sort of broke down a lot of stereotypes.
Matt, I thank you very much for calling. Dina or Karen, are you familiar perhaps with that exhibit?
Yes. In fact, I'm aware of that exhibit and was so pleased when I heard about it. The Neville does great work, and we've often funded the Neville in the past. I can't tell you right now whether we gave a grant for that particular exhibit. I think we might have, but I'm not going to lay claim to that. Sure.
Oh, well, Matt, thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it very much. I want to talk next to Arnold, who's near the Menominee Reservation. Hi, Arnold.
Bonsoir. I would like to, first of all, thank all three of your guests for the wonderful job they've done in leading us here in the state of Wisconsin. I've obviously seen this exhibit since I'm a present board member, and I think that we need more of this in all the communities throughout the state of Wisconsin. But my question is, for all three of your guests, I'd like to know what kind of feedback, what kind of queries you've had from the residents of the state of Wisconsin, and I will listen on the radio. And I say Wawanin, which means thank you to all of you.
Arnold, also, thank you very much. Well, what kind of response are we getting? Dina, start with you and then go to Karen and Bill.
Sure. Well, we've had an amazing response. And in fact, one of the things that was important to us, we put a guest book out because we really wanted to hear from people. So, we've had, comments, for example, I actually have one right here. Speaking directly to the people in the exhibit, someone from Highland wrote, "You want a good life, just like we all do. Keep believing and working toward your dreams. You deserve a chance for a better life. God bless." I think that speaks both to the sentiment, but also to just how directly people felt they could connect with the people whose stories are told. Many, many comments of that nature.
Now, Karen, how about you?
So many things. I think in our community, it's not always as a parent when a nonprofit or other organization like the council reaches out and wants to partner. People don't think that happens enough, but it actually does. And I think, when this project came out, some within our community were a bit nervous. They were wondering, how are we going to be portrayed? Are we going to be leveraged for somebody else's story? And I can't tell you how incorrect that was and how this exhibit really proved the power of partnership. And when organizations come together to really bridge the divide and this kind of conversation that can be kind of contentious, it really makes a difference. For me, my most beautiful memory will be seeing each of these participants who we have seen for so many years at Centro. Some of them have grown up with us, answering questions after a presentation, their sense of pride, joy, appreciation for finally being given a space where they can actually exert their voice. It takes a tremendous amount of courage, like Bill said, but I can't tell you how much our community is thriving to have a space to do that, how we're not really afraid to share our stories because it's the story of, what the caller just said, of hopes and dreams and families, that there might be mixed status, there might be complications, but we're all seeking the same thing in this country and making sure that it thrives and making sure that the narrative is reflective of the demographics. So it's been incredibly powerful.
Oh, thank you very much, Karen. Bill, what about you?
Well, Larry, I can only add to what Karen and Dina have said. They captured it very well. I'll tell you one vignette from when we hosted a reception at the Overture Center in Madison last summer. I think there were more than 200 people in that crowd, and it was an interesting experience because there were Latinx people and people from other ethnic backgrounds all together taking a look at the exhibit. And one thing that really stopped me was that a friend of mine came up to me and said, "I was watching a woman who was moving from one panel to the next with tears in her eyes." And, if you can reach out to people in that way, at that visceral level, it's tremendously rewarding. And I can only assume that that's happened many other times.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the Overture Center in Madison. Kathy in Platteville had emailed us. She saw the exhibit at the Overture in Madison and thought it was a wonderful exhibit. She says it really brings to life the moving stories of these brave people. She encourages everybody to see it. Well, Arnold, again, I thank you. I want to go to Catherine in Wausau next. Hi, Catherine. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
What's on your mind today?
Well, I saw the exhibit when it was in Madison. And, you know, I think the way that these authors of this exhibit humanized the stories and humanized these people, it was so touching. And I think that we really need to use this as even a further educational tool just to pave the way in combating inaccurate perceptions that society holds.
Yeah. Comment on that, Karen?
You know, I think that's a really wonderful point. And I mean, I don't want to put words into Dina's mouth, but I'm sure she's thought about that or considered different ways of utilizing this exhibit to really bridge the divide, especially now when we're talking about inequities. So I think it's a wonderful suggestion. And when you look at the school district, you know, that is the future of our city, of our state. Those faces represent really the future of this community. And I think anything that can help create greater understanding is just a plus. It's just a bonus. So it's wonderful. Yeah.
Catherine, thank you so much. Luke in Menasha, we'll go to you next. Hi, Luke.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to bring light to just how difficult immigration is. My wife, she's an immigrant from Mexico. We're actually still going through the process ourselves. And this is through marriage, which is considered one of the easiest ways to immigrate into the United States. If you don't have family in the U.S., it's next to impossible. And I'd just like to bring light to how the immigration system needs to change and the stigma around these people that are coming over the border trying to find a better life. People say that they're coming over legally, which is true, but they don't have much choice. If you're going to legally come over and you don't have family, it can take up to 20 years.
Oh, we lost Luke. Well, Karen, comment.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. This idea of this organized process that you need to wait your turn to come to this country is just not a reality. So if you want to actually move here and have a life here, establish roots here, develop a future that is much better, because unfortunately for many of the countries that we come from, it's just not a possibility at this time because of a number of different issues. It is impossible to tell a young man that is faced with danger day in, day out because of gang violence, a woman who's facing femicide, and the risk of death, you know, to wait your turn. There is nothing easy about uprooting and coming to another country where your culture is not understood, where you have to constantly answer the questions, where are you from and why are you here? There's nothing easy about that. There's a trauma involved. There's a serious burden that remains with you, but we do it because of those hopes and those dreams that we were talking about. So if that is the idea that we need to wait our turn and there needs to be an organized process that is quote unquote legal, then there needs to be significant change at the federal level. And that's all our community has always advocated for, that we got to put things equally so that we can all see the system the same way.
Luke, thank you again for calling. Appreciate it. Let's go to Owen in Wauwega next. Hi, Owen. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking the call. Yeah, as a dairy farm employee, and it's no secret how much dairy farms in Wisconsin rely on immigrant labor to do the work. And it's beyond me as to why more dairy farm owners, especially the ones that are really financially able to do so, aren't doing more to sponsor the immigrant population and help them become citizens, get driver's licenses, and fight for their rights. It's like they want to suppress them and continue to keep them down so they know that they're going to have a labor force that's going to be subordinate to their needs.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Owen, I thank you very much. Just I remember, Karen, in your talk, you visited about how important migrants are to the dairy industry. Here we're talking about, what, $20-some billion industry.
Oh yeah, completely. And Mario, one of the participants that was interviewed for the exhibit, speaks of his relationship with the place where he worked, where he started as a dairy farm worker, and how much of a close relationship he has and continues to have with the person that gave him an opportunity and a chance. There's a humanity there that's never talked about. And I agree with the caller. I think if more people were willing to come forward and talk about those relationships, why they do what they do, and how supportive they actually can be of our community, because we are a meaningful workforce, because the state, the dairy industry, would not survive without our labor. I think things will change drastically. Every day, every year, or every day when there's an action or something happening that speaks out about the needs and the rights of the community, I always yearn for diverse faces to come out and speak out, not only Latino faces. And so exhibits like this, my hope is that they'll continue to breach the divide so that others understand and feel that they can be as courageous as these people were with sharing your story and why you support our community and change.
Yeah. Just to mention that 20-some billion-dollar industry, about half the workforce is immigrant labor, right?
That's correct. Yep, 40%.
40%.
Larry, if I could just add one comment to the caller from Wairega.
I agree completely
that we need voices in the dairy business to speak up. One of those people who's doing that is actually a couple, John and Nettie Rosenau of Cochran, who have been instrumental in the formation of a group called Fuentes Bridges, in which the people with the dairy farmers who hire immigrant labor from south of the border have a chance to travel to Mexico and meet the families of the workers and establish that type of community connection. So it is happening. It should be on a much larger scale, but there are some opportunities. And John and Nettie Rosenau with Fuentes Bridges are a perfect example of dairy farmers who are doing exactly what the caller asked.
No. Again, Owen, I appreciate your call. Time for another call or two. You can join in 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. Let's take another call. Nancy in Brookfield will give you a chance. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I'm just calling in to say that about 10 years ago, a group of us from MICA, Milwaukee Inner City Congregations Allied for Hope, did a study on immigrants, and they learned that they contribute so much to our economy by having to pay taxes, and yet they do not Social Security, and they don't get Social Security. There are a number of things that they do that just are so great for us. They take jobs that nobody wants, and they do them so well. They're terrific workers. So I wanted to tell you that. Okay.
Thank you, Nancy, for calling. And Karen, there are a bunch of stereotypes out there, and one is that, well, they're not paying taxes, and that's just simply not the case.
Yeah, not at all. That's a real misperception, again, because it takes a lot for somebody to uproot and come to this country, unless, like, your sole reason is because you want to become a part of this country and you want to become a citizen. For that process, you need to follow everything by the law. You know, myself, my family immigrated from El Salvador. Every single day, we were fearful about doing things wrong, doing something that might jeopardize our chances of citizenship. And this idea of paying taxes goes right along. You want to do what you need to do, because in the end, why would you have left your home country if you didn't want to make things right over here?
Jeff in Sparta emailed that it would be great to get this exhibit into Wisconsin schools. And Dina, is that a possibility?
Absolutely. We're just, you know, hoping that things with COVID work out so that we have places that want to invite us. But, yes, it's definitely a possibility, and I encourage anybody who's interested in having the exhibit to please go to our website, and you can find my contact information there and get in touch with me or with Chris Fontsantiago, a wonderful graduate student from Puerto Rico who is managing the exhibit tour.
Yeah. I'm thinking about the people who were highlighted, and Bill, thinking about you. They're from different areas. They're doing different things, what are the things they have in common that you found in interviewing them?
That's an excellent question, Larry. I can sum it up pretty simply. Hard work. Several of the people that we spoke with have two, sometimes three jobs. And thanks to, I think, Karen's group and others who are helpful to the immigrant population, they have established plans and goals, and then they move along that track. And so that's a key, I think, to the success some of them have enjoyed, that they actually had a plan, and then they went and accomplished it. And I just also have to say I was always impressed with how humble the people that I was blessed to speak with were. Truly humble and real, genuine human beings.
Wisconsin Life did a story about one of the immigrants featured in the exhibit, a woman named Cynthia. Maybe tell us a little bit about her.
Well, Cynthia is a wonderful young woman who was born in Mexico. Her mother brought Cynthia and her brother to Wisconsin when Cynthia was quite young. And she was able to go to college for a while at UW-Milwaukee, had some struggles with getting to college. She is a dreamer and has, you know, spoken about what it feels like to be a dreamer and to have the insecurity of that status. But she really exemplifies so much of what Bill was just saying in these stories. She is so full of hope, and what she talked about most in the beautiful story that Wisconsin Life did was her work in Milwaukee at the 16th Street Health Center, where she is helping other people in the community improve their health and, you know, get out and exercise. And, you know, her whole life is devoted to giving back to her community and to others.
Yeah, it's a great story. And that Wisconsin Life piece, by the way, we have a link to it. So if you want to listen and learn some more about her story, just go to WPR.org/Larry. It's linked on today's show note. And just once again, for people who are interested maybe in having the exhibit come to their community, where do folks find out more about it? Dina, do you want to take that?
Yes, they should go to wisconsinhumanities.org. On our main website, there is a story about the exhibit tour, and you can also go to our About page where you can find contact information for our staff. But if you go to our main page and look under Programs, look at Immigrant Journeys, you can read some of the stories, and also we keep it updated on all the latest on the tour. The other thing I do quickly want to mention is that Karen and Bill are also helping me with a new effort to broaden the conversation around the themes of the exhibit and the stories of the exhibit in these times when it's been a little bit more difficult for the exhibit to travel. We're partnering with a wonderful group called the Local Voices Network, through which we are going to very soon be organizing virtual conversations, facilitated conversations that bring together people from all different perspectives in the community around Wisconsin for intimate conversations about immigration. So you can stay tuned or get in touch with us, but we really want to broaden the conversation and to continue to use the exhibit as a spark to bring more people in to share their voices and their perspectives.
And so people should go to the Wisconsin Humanities Council website for more on that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, this has been a great conversation. It's a wonderful exhibit, and I want to thank all three of you, not only for being with us today, but for the roles that you played in getting the exhibit going. It's been a great success so far, and I just hope it reaches the goals that you have in mind for it. So thank you all very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Larry.
Karen Menendez-Coller, the Executive Director of Centro Hispano of Dane County. Dina Wartzel, the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Humanities Council. And Bill Berry, author, journalist, public speaker who lives in Stevens Point. All three very involved in the exhibit. And I hope I have a chance to visit with all three or one of them at a time. It was great fun. We're going to switch gears a little bit and talk with you about these days when we have a lot of anxious thoughts, especially about what's going on in the world right now. We kind of touched on that, a piece of it, just a minute ago, but we're taking a look next at a philosophy, centuries-old one, that maybe can help give us some peace of mind. That coming up next. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network.